Hey, listen up.
Yeah, we here and we locked in. Let's keep it going all the way to the top 10. We fear the turtles, so it's no other option. Fred and Ryan, just watch them. Let's take it to the max.
It's the Shell and Tell.
They come with all the facts.
It's the Shell and Tell.
Let's take it to the max.
It's the Shell and Tell.
They come with all the facts.
It's the Shell and Tell.
What is up, Terp fans? We are back with yet another edition of the Shell and Tell podcast. That's right, another show. We got a couple things to cover on this week's show. First, we're going to bring you the latest segment from the Birdland BS show, our Shell and Tell segment. For those that don't know Birdland BS, Birdland BS is a podcast I started about, 4 years ago now at this point. It covers all of the major sports in the state of Maryland, Ravens, Orioles, and Terps. And it's really the birthplace of Shell and Tell. It's how Ryan and I met, and it's, you know, where this show idea came from. So we're going to give you the latest segment of that first, but then Ryan and Ahmed actually got a really unique opportunity this week to sit down with a couple of the board of directors from the Terrapin Club and talk a little bit about what they have going on, some special events that they have going on, and some really cool content. So we're going to bring that to you as well. But first, let's hear this week's Shell and Tell via Birdland BS. All right, Ryan, it's time for some Shell and Tell. And we had talked yesterday about, I don't even know if we're going to do a Shell and Tell segment this week.
I looked at the notes yesterday and I was like, what the hell are they talking about? And I looked at the notes right before the show and I went, whoa, shit.
Well,
I'm going to take a break. I'm going to skip this week. We don't need a Shell and Tell.
Partly because we have been so busy with Shell and Tell. We've had a lot going on this past week, and partly because there really wasn't a whole lot of news going on, but things changed in the last 24 hours.
Yeah, the last 24 hours, we'll skip ahead to basketball because that's what broke. This is what I wrote last night, right? With Terps basketball, hoping no news is good news because all is quiet on the hardwood.
And it changed today.
Well, at 3 p.m., that all fell to shit.
Yep.
So at 3 p.m., we had a decommitment. And a commitment, all in the matter of about 30 seconds announced.
Yeah, Boston College forward Jarius Hamilton, who transferred to us last year, has now entered the portal, and he'll be looking for a home somewhere else.
Yep, three schools in 3 years.
Yeah, it was kind of a head...
the future of basketball, I guess.
It was kind of a head-scratcher for about 30 seconds until I saw the following post where we did get the new commitment.
Yeah, our newest commitment is Ian Martinez, 6'3", 183-pound freshman. Played all 25 games at Utah last season. Only averaged 16 minutes, 5.2 points, 49.5% shooting, though, and 32% from beyond the arc. So when I saw those numbers, I got a little worried, actually. I was different than you. I was like, oh, shit, are we trying to replace Eric?
Yeah, no.
That was my very first thought. But then I looked back and I kind of realized that, because I thought that we had already replaced Smart with the last guard commitment. But what really happened is we should have got a guard last offseason and didn't.
Right.
So the very first guard commitment, Fats Russell, was the guard we were supposed to already have.
Right.
And this was Anquan Smart's replacement.
So exactly.
The same graduating year and everything.
That's exactly right. He's Anquan Smart's replacement, who was projected to get some good playing time this year. If you want a comparison for you older Terp fans out there, he's a combo guard kind of like Drew Nicholas was back in the day, if you remember Drew Nicholas. I see a lot of potential in this guy. Some people are saying he's got some good pro prospects, so that speaks volumes to him. The numbers, again, as a freshman, don't blow you out of the waters when you just look at his averages. Like Ryan said, 5.2 points at 49.5% shooting, which is good. But what you look at is what he did in the last, like, I want to say it was like 10 games of the season.
He was a freshman. He developed.
Yeah. The last seven out of the last 10 games, I think it was, he averaged between 10 to 15 points in those games.
So his career high came in one of his very last games. It was a double overtime loss to USC in the Pac-12 tournament quarterfinals.
Right.
So in the March tournaments, he had 18 points on 7-for-10 shooting in 30 minutes.
Right. So that's pretty good. Again, this gives you that combo guard that primarily going to be a two guard, but he does have the ability to handle the ball, so he can play the one when needed. Somebody gets into foul trouble, or you're just trying to keep guys fresh. That was our problem this season, was that we had too short of a rotation and that people were getting gassed, especially as we got halfway, three quarters of the way through the season. Guys just didn't have the energy to keep it up, and this is going to add depth to that.
And this is the new basketball. You've got to keep your scholarships right. So if you have people leaving in their after the freshman, after their sophomore, after their junior year, you got to at some point try to get somebody back in that kind of class so that you can keep the record going for the high school guys. You always have spots open to draft them.
Or you end up giving a scholarship away to a guy like Reese Bono.
Well, yeah, or you it's exactly last year. We could not find a point guard that wanted to come here, and they're like, all right, well, who deserves it the most? Who works the hardest? Reese, here you go.
Exactly. And on the Jarius Hamilton side, Hamilton was a little bit of a disappointment in the sense that I had high expectations for him more as a forward, more as maybe like that slashing three or a guy that was going to have a low post presence. Didn't really turn out to be that way. He was more of a spot shooter, took more threes than I expected, wasn't a big rebounder. So, I wish nothing but the best for Jarius Hamilton, but I think this is an upgrade for the squad.
Yeah, I mean, and especially if you're going with Anquan Smart as his replacement, it's definitely an upgrade. You're talking about the number 120 overall in the player of the nation for the 2020 class. That was the composite ranking, and the number 19 shooting guard. Some places had him as high as number 67 player in high school. So definitely was ranked high beforehand. He chose Utah over Arizona, Arizona State, Ole Miss, and others. So it's not like this is just some guy we're picking up. Even though he only scored 5 points a game, this guy could develop into a real player here.
Right. All right, so let's switch over to the football side of things. As we mentioned, it's been a crazy whirlwind of a week for us. I mean, I know you put out the Marty McNair interview that you did with him.
Jordan McNair Foundation, yep.
Yeah, we just wrapped up an interview yesterday with Terps punter Anthony Pecorella, which was great. A lot of good conversation on many things. We started a new segment with Shell and Tell called the Player Spotlight, where essentially what we're going to do is all the player interviews is give you a inside look to what these players and what these athletes bring, not just on the field, but off the field as well.
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of established at this point. At first, we were like getting a player interview and going, oh my God, this is the best thing that's ever going to happen.
Right.
And then we got another one and another one. And we're like, all right, well, we should probably like pretend this is going to happen again and like break this off so that people can go back and see this and not just find out what the stats were last night.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, I'm excited, man. It's we got the spring game coming up this Saturday. As we talked about last week, you know, they are going to allow fans into the stands. We're not going to be tailgating out there. Maybe we'll tailgate in the, you know, driveway, or at least I'll tailgate in the driveway. You can drive and be the DD. Yeah.
Fred and I aren't even going to get to sit together. I just figured out. So they're pods of four, and my wife and twins are planning on coming. So Fred going to be sitting four rows behind me yelling at me.
We're big enough that we'll still be able to high five and shit. That's fine.
I was going
to
say, hey, I'll bring me and the kids will come. That way we'll entertain you.
There it is. I like it.
I might be able to make it.
All right. We'll make it a
40% chance of rain. I'm really, really sad. I'm going to be there whether it's pouring torrential downpours, but we'll just see how that goes.
Well, we had talked about, you know, one of the things that we wanted to see the fans do was get out there and show support. I know you watched the Alabama spring game the other day and just the level of fan support that they have. I mean, granted, it's Alabama, right? It's the number one program in all the nation. They're going to have that kind of support. But, you know, for us, as far as showing support for the program, you got to get out there and you got to be there, right? Well, the Terps announced that all the spring tickets are gone. That's great.
All the spring tickets are gone, but we are talking about PG County and D.C., and they were free, so we'll see. I don't know if we just had scalpers buying hundreds at a time and or if people were like, let's get them in case we want to go. So if 5,000 people show up, which is the number of tickets they let go, then I'll be pretty happy with it. And I think that's probably about double of the number of people we saw at the last spring game 2 years ago. But I think that you could drive that kind of interest because we all missed an entire season.
Are they doing school on campus this year?
Yeah, there's they're on campus.
I wonder how many students you're going to have there just to get out of the dorms.
Zero.
He's here? Okay.
That student section.
I'm throwing it out there.
I mean, of course, there's going to be a few students. I mean, Ahmed Ghafir, who's now working with Shellentel, is technically a student. He's in his master program. He'll be there.
Right.
It's not like it's going to be zero. I mean,
you'll
I
be able to count them.
Yeah. I talked to Ellis McKinney.
On one hand or two.
He's going to be there for this
maybe
game.
Maybe hand, feet.
But yeah, I don't know about active undergrad students. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I see 1,000 of them sitting out there getting a nice suntan. But
I figured maybe they want to get out
in the fan base.
Right. Well, I wanted to get your take. And Scott, I want your take on this too. You know, so with the spring game coming up and some of the question marks and some of the things, the changes that we've made around this squad, what's an area, Ryan, that you're looking forward to seeing at the spring game the most?
I think the biggest thing is what we've always been lacking. It's the offensive line. We're starting to get numbers that look like we have a Big Ten offensive line. So I want to see it in action.
Right.
We got big boys across the board. Of course, we're still out there looking in that transfer portal to get another tackle, maybe guard, depending on how that works out. But we have large bodies we've brought in over the years that are getting training. Plus, you've got the new offensive line coach. So I'm really looking forward to seeing him like in the moment interact with these guys. They get pulled out, coaching them up for what they did wrong, and see how that works.
Well, since you stole mine, I'm going to let you steal the thunder here, Scott. What is your most exciting thing for the spring game?
I look at the defensive side of the ball. Okay. Right? There were too many games last year that they just could not handle the other side, Northwestern game being one of them.
Right.
So I'm really curious to see, you know, we thought that Chance Campbell was that leader on that defensive side of the ball.
We didn't think he was.
He definitely was. And, you know, one of the things that I think you got to play, you know, your buddy Ruben, can he step up this year?
Looks like it.
Can he make an impact?
I heard him speak in an interview in his press conference for the first time the other day. Another well-spoken kid, knows his shit. Like,
and he admits that last year he didn't know, and that's what held him back.
Yeah, he said, very candid.
I was playing fast, but I didn't grasp it. I didn't understand where I was supposed to be. I've always been able to just do this because I'm better than everyone.
Right.
And so and we've talked to a couple people that said he really started to put it together right the last game about last year and has even developed more through the offseason.
Right. So he's not just saying he's slowing down. He's actually doing it, right? So, yeah, that's the side of the ball that I'm most curious on because, you know, look, I know that you guys talk about the offensive side, and we need to – defensive side is going to be a question mark to me this year. There are some question marks with not having a leader. If it is Ruben, great. What does our secondary look like?
Great. That was what I was just going to bring up. So okay. That's the only thing I'm most confident. Well, no, I'm sorry. Wide receivers is the thing I'm most confident in, except for the fact that we only have one quarterback. So Talia has to stay healthy for me to be confident in them.
Right.
The defensive backs are going to be good no matter what. You got Nick Cross very well. This could be his last season here. He could be an NFL draft pick next year. Let's see how that works out. Last year didn't quite shine as much as his freshman year, but I think it's just that weird.
He didn't get much help from some of the DBs that were out there.
Well, you had Treib Still, who was the best freshman I've ever seen come through there. So that's a big thing. And Ja'Corian Bennett's on the other side.
Played great. Our
defensive backs is probably overall, it's the best I've seen. We've had plenty of NFL caliber defensive backs play through there, but it's always been like one at a time.
Well, before you guys steal all the position groups, and I don't have anything left to talk about, I'm not going to take the Ahmed easy cop out and go wide receivers.
Oh.
I'm going to go with a position that's near and dear to my heart, position that I played, tight end. And the reason I say that is because tight end was an area of dire need last year, an area that we were super thin, that we had defensive linemen switching over to tight end to just fill a role. Like, we were all over the place tight end position. We get Chigakonkwo back from injury last year, which all reports that you're hearing right now is that he's looked great so far in camp. That adds a whole other dimension, I think, to this offense, having a true – and he's a two-way tight end. He's a good blocking tight end. He's a good receiving tight end. Having him out there, we've got a cluster of young freshman tight ends coming in this year, one of which, baby Gronk, CJ Dupree, kid who's bench-pressing buses and squatting houses. This kid looks like the real deal athletically. I haven't seen him on the football field other than what I've seen as far as like his high school tape and all that. And it's looked great. But I'm excited to see him. Corey Dutchess, another guy. He's a little small, I think, for the position, but hearing great things from Ahmed. his athleticism and his ability to go up and get the 50-50 balls, his strength could put him into the tight to like the two tight end sets with Chig and not rush CJ Dupree out on the field too soon. So I think the tight end position group is going to be interesting to watch, not just at the spring game, I think all year.
And let's not gloss over Chig. I mean, we were very excited for what he could bring last year, and then he had cardiomyopathy related to COVID last year and ended up missing the whole year. He's supposedly in good shape. He's got it under control out there on the field. So I hope that he can not miss a beat and be out there with the boys. And really, they seem really excited, that extra wrinkle, because we had no tight end
presence
last
year. That's what I'm saying. Zero.
Nothing. We threw the ball to him like three times. It bounced off like a brick house, and Locks was like, take all those plays out.
Think of how good that wide receiver core played last year without having that pass catching threat out there.
The guy over the middle that can,
all that's going to do is take some of the pressure and some of the double coverages off those elite wide receivers who everything, again, I don't want to hop on the hype train with the wide receivers because it's ridiculous the amount of talent that they have there. But everything that we've heard about Dante Demas, when you just think like he can't get any better, he's gotten better. A lot of people said that he could potentially go pro last year. Thank God he didn't. Final ride here as a Terp, and let's go for it. Put him, that Batman and Robin out there with him and Rock, and then you've got so many other options. I mean, you could literally pick a rabbit out of the hat, a name out of the hat, and throw him out there, and so, all these wide receivers are going to be talented.
So
and
question on that front for the two of you, right? Last year, one of the knocks, especially as we got later in the year, was that the Terps were becoming predictable on the deep ball. Do you think that addition and being able to have that solidified tight end type situation, do you think that opens up more deep balls and allows you to become less predictable with that, to be able to get those deep balls because the guy's open?
Because tight ends run a lot of underneath routes. They run a lot of things over the middle. So all that's going to do is pull some of the coverage into the middle of the field, which then will give you the top end of your defense.
Right.
So, yes.
Where these guys are burners, 100%. At that point. So. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, Dante Demas was pretty much their deep threat. But, I mean, you did have Jashawn Jones. Rack didn't really catch
Rack
many deep balls.
Rack just caught balls in space and then took it to
he
the house.
He took 5 yards slants 80 yards at a time. That was just what he does.
He did it twice against Penn State. They look mirror images of each other.
It was the exact same play. Exactly. Back to back. I'm just really happy that this year is so different. It's NFL draft week, right?
Yeah.
We were talking about maybe having one guy drafted.
Right.
This year, without even having a breakout of something unexpected, we are going to probably lose three underclassmen. Well, I guess Demas is not technically underclassmen, but Demas is getting drafted unless he just blows out both knees in some horrific accident.
You better knock on wood. She just made the camera have a seizure.
They knew. We got Jalen Duncan, who's leaving early.
Yeah.
Everything Ahmed says, we better get used to this being his last year. He looks great. He's going to be drafted. And you got Nick Cross. And then looking a year ahead, you got Ruben, you got Still, you got people that are definitely considered right now. We didn't even think about Jake Funk last year.
Right.
He was a breakout that got there. So there was a little bit of talk about Shaq Barrett, not Shaq Barrett, he's great. Shaq for the guy that transferred from Clemson, but he ended up sitting out and not being anything.
Right.
But there was no talk of anybody else going to the league.
Yeah.
And here we are. There's definitely conversation. You see what Locks is doing with the caliber of players at this program.
Well, you bring up the Jake Funk, and if there's any question marks at any positions I'm going to be watching just to see how they're doing, it's going to be the running back core, because there's a lot of questions. There's a lot of youth at that position. Obviously, you've got Teyon Fleet Davis, who's going to come back as the one senior back projected to be the day one starter. I've heard nothing but good things as far as him maturing from a mental standpoint. We talked about this on our last show for Shell and Tell, which is great. Great news for this kid, because the one knock on him has never been athletics. It's never been his talent on the football field. It's always just been what's between the ears and making poor decisions off the field. But if he's got a grasp on that and he's really matured, like everything that we're hearing, that bodes well for that running back group.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And then you look at the young boys. You got Penny Boone, Isaiah Jacobs, trying to figure out if anybody grabs hold of a spot before we reload in fall, because we have three freshman running backs coming in, Antoine Littleton, Roman Henby, and McDonald all coming in here. You know, who knows what they're going to bring? Antoine Littleton's other big boy like Penny Boone. We're apparently trying this Thunder Lightning thing.
So, I like it. Hopefully, if any of you guys are going down there for the spring game, send us a message, send us an email, hit us up on social media, let us know. We'll try to meet up with as many people as we can down there. We'd love to say hi.
All right. Well, hopefully you enjoyed this week's segment of Shell and Tell via Birdland BS. And I hope you guys are just as excited about this spring game as we are. I mean, we're less than 24 hours away now from recording this, and I couldn't be more excited to get back down there and just feel normal again, get back into the shell, see the boys we haven't seen in over a year now, get around people and just talking to people. Which, speaking of that, obviously with tickets being gone, and obviously a lot of you probably will be down there, if you want to say hi, send us a message on social media. We'd love to meet up with you guys and just chat. Be a lot of fun. One last thing I do want to hit on that we didn't get a chance to talk about on Birdland BS because it hadn't happened yet. We talked about the loss of DeAndre Haynes and what that might mean to Coach Turgeon and his staff in the program. Well, they found his replacement, and they've hired Danny Manning, which some of you may remember the name. Danny Manning was actually teammates with Turgeon back in the 80s at Kansas. They ended up going to a Final Four together. Danny went on to have a very good NBA career. He played 15 years in the league. I think he was a two-time All-Star, averaged around 14 or 15 points. But where I think you're going to see the biggest benefit in Danny, it's not going to be in recruiting. Where you're going to see the biggest benefit is going to be in the low post presence with this team. I mean, he was a 6'10", big body, athletic guy in his day. So he knows a thing or two about playing in the post. And we've got some new guys coming in, some freshmen. We got the transfer coming in from Georgetown. If he can help elevate their game another step, that's a win-win for us. I mean, that's been one of our biggest struggles in recent years, has been our low post presence. So I think that was a smart move, a calculated move, and I'm excited about it. So the next thing I'd like to bring up is, we talked about it earlier, we have a two-part segment. We had the Birdland BS show, and then we had Ryan and Ahmed having a unique opportunity to sit down with a couple of board of directors from the Terrapin Club. And they got to chat about a lot of things. So without further ado, here's Ahmed.
All right. So today is Thursday, April 22nd. And on this week's episode of Shell and Tell, we have Mike Farrell and Matt Monroe joining us for the show. Guys, appreciate you taking some time with us.
Absolutely. Appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. And obviously, Maryland this weekend will host their spring game. The allotted 5,000 tickets have been sold rather quickly, I'd add. And Mike, just kind of with fans excited to return back to the shell to see Maryland in year three under Mike Locksley, I guess, what kind of feedback has Terrapin Club received when it comes to these season ticket sales? And I guess, have you guys seen that excitement kind of trickle through so far?
I'll let Matt handle that one.
Yeah, I can handle that one. That's right up my alley. So, yeah, it's been tremendous. I think that, you know, a lot of people are really seeking the opportunity to come back to a stadium, come back for some live entertainment. And we were able to have some fans at our most recent lacrosse games against Penn State and against Ohio State, had some good crowds. And so we still have to, you know, keep people physically distant, but you know, we're gonna have people in the upper deck, which I don't think has ever happened for a spring game. So really excited. And I think, you know, our fans and our season ticket holders are raring to go and trying to get a sneak preview of what to look for in the fall.
Yeah, I think people have taken for granted, you know, the fact they can just keep going to these events and they're just going to be there. And they're like, well, this game's not the biggest thing in the world, I'll skip it. But I don't think you're going to see that anymore. Like, I want to go to any and all events possible for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I mean, it's been over a year where most people have had the opportunity to to watch a live sporting event or a live, you know, large scale event like that. So I agree. There's gonna be a segment of people that, you know, are gonna wait for, you know, the protocols to be a little bit better than what they are now and some of the guidance out there. But I think for the most part, you're really seeing, especially the sports fans, they want to get back to watching live sports.
Yeah, no, exactly. And like you said, you know, a lot of fans were able to take advantage of those tickets and you definitely starting to see that excitement with that first opportunity to kind of get back in the shell, or not the first, one of the first opportunities to get back in the shell. You know, I guess, you know, for in terms of Terrapin Club and for prospective Terrapin Club members, I guess what kind of specials or what kind of packages can they kind of look at to kind of take advantage of some of the perks that you guys are offering right now?
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting. This is our this 75th year of the Terrapin Club. So it started in 1946, believe it or not. And for those that don't know, it's the scholarship arm for our athletic department. So we raise scholarships to support all of our student athletes, over 500. So any money that comes in through the Terrapin Club, whether it be for seating or parking benefits, and or those that are just giving philanthropic gifts, go 100% to support those scholarships. So really important stuff. And it's really the only way that we can succeed in as an athletic department is to drive those donations up. But this year with the 75th year, in addition to some things that we were already looking at prior, we've came up with really three cool new benefits that we've offered our members. One is we're getting ready to offer it here upcoming in the fall. Two are already underway, so I'll kind of speak to that a little bit. And then Mike is the true expert in one of them, has been running the show on our Terrapin Club Plus. So I'll have him speak definitely on that. But the three benefits, one is a quarterly magazine that we're doing, and it's called One Maryland. So it kind of features stories of, perseverance, cool either current student athletes, former student athletes, coaches, that sort of thing. Goes really deep into the heart of some of the stuff that we have and access to with, all of the great athletes that we have, all the great coaches and our facilities and all that we have. So that's a quarterly magazine that's driven to members only. We're actually getting ready to send out the one that's coming up in May. That'll be a nice feature. And then Backstage Pass, which is something that we've looked at for about a year and a half now, and something that we actually were going to roll out last summer, but we're unable to due to COVID. But Backstage Pass is kind of like an experience-based platform to where only Terrapin Club members will have the opportunity to get these unique experiences that you can't necessarily find anywhere else. So that could be anything from, being able to go to a practice, being able to, be on the field prior to the game or sit on the bench, during warmups, those types of things that you can only have access to by being a member. So we're really excited. We're going to roll that out here in the fall, starting with football and some of the things that we'll be able to do. So that is another thing that's pretty unique to college athletics. I think a couple of schools are doing it, but something that we're kind of on the forefront of. And the one thing that we're doing, and then I'll let Mike chime in here, that really I think is unique to college athletics is our Terrapin Club Plus, which is our online streaming platform. We have five great new shows, and it's kind of the Netflix. We're calling it the Netflix for Terps. So you have to have access again, by being a Terrapin Club member at our $135 level in order to have kind of access to that platform. So I'll let Mike kind of speak more to that, typically about what our show is and what we're producing there.
Yeah, sure, Matt. Nice intro to Terrapin Club Plus. Appreciate it.
I saw you being bashful there when he mentioned you the Netflix of the Terrapins. I saw you smirking a little bit.
Yeah, I love it, and I appreciate that. The reference point to Netflix, but to me, it's a little bit more like Amazon Prime, right? You've got this this opportunity to donate and support our student athletes, and that's really the driving force behind it, right? Just like Amazon is the driving force behind Prime, and then you have a lot of these other sort of subsidiaries that you also get as a benefit because you're a Prime member. And so because you've joined and because you've supported our student athletes, now you're going to get access to like what Matt was talking about, opportunities within Backstage Pass. You're going to get that quarterly magazine, which is really well done. And our communications team has done an unbelievable job of putting together really interesting stories and going into deep dives on some of our student athletes and the history of our athletic department. And then in addition to that, just like Prime Video, you get a little video element added into it. So we have five different shows that we've been working on. It originated out of the pandemic. What were some ways that we could stay busy while there wasn't anything going on and there were no events to bring our supporters to. And so we created a whole bunch of different outlines. We stuck to one of them. We've got five original shows. So Game Changers is kind of like a mini documentary series, and we've done a few of those. You've got Anyone Can, which this year has been featuring Aaron Wiggins from our basketball team, dipping his toe into, you know, some of our other sports. So far he's done gymnastics. He's done women's soccer and tried to kick a penalty kick. He wasn't very good at it. And then in May, we're releasing Softball. And it's actually an unbelievable episode, one of our best episodes. So really looking forward to that one. We've got Johnny Holiday, the voice of the Terps, hosting a show, and he's been bringing in some big hitters from Maryland history. We got Behind the Play, which features a lot of, you know, some of our past greats with Christy Tolliver and our shot in the NCAA championship. You got Steve Blake making the steal against Jason Williams against Duke. We've got some great episodes there. Steve Suter and the kickoff return against West Virginia in the Gator Bowl back in 2004.
I really like that one.
he's an unbelievable. He's so good on camera.
Yeah, like, he's a personality.
He hates West Virginia with an unbelievable passion, and it just still to this day, however many years later, 16 years later, 17 years later, it still comes through. It's unbelievable. And then we've got one more show, and I can't remember the ones that I've already mentioned, but we've got one more in there too.
I just want to let you know it worked. I mean, my family's been season ticket holders for 20 years. I've been season ticket holder myself. I added additional tickets for the last 4 years. And this is the first year I joined the Terrapin Club. I mean, the Terrapin Club Plus was definitely something that got me. As you can see behind me, these cutouts got me. So it's always like these little added benefits is what it was, what got my attraction. I mean, when I was very young, my parents took me on my birthday to the senior awards dinner that they had. I don't know if you guys have still done that, you know, pre-pandemic, but many years ago I paid a very expensive price for me to eat a meal at the senior awards dinner. These are the things that really, I think, drive people to the Terrapin Club. Of course, you want to give out of the goodness of your heart. There are the people that can do that, but it's that larger base of people that just don't have all that expendable money that want to feel like they're getting something back for their addition, whether it's a low cost or no cost when you're just talking about going to a practice.
Yeah, absolutely. And some people just want access, right? They want access to, you know, whether it's, you know, our coaches or student athletes or even just seeing a facility. I mean, some people it's enough just to come in and be able to walk on the court. I mean, for Mike and I, you know, it's kind of second nature, but for others, you know, don't get that opportunity, right? It's a big deal. It's a really big deal to be able to do that.
I can't tell you how many times I've tried to convince my wife to do the yoga in Cole Fieldhouse because I'm not going by myself. Yeah. But she's never pulled the trigger. So maybe someday.
Yeah, we're gonna do that again. Hopefully again in the fall if we're able to. Yeah.
Very cool.
Matt'll go with you. He's got a mat.
All right. Sounds good. Out. Why not? I want to see it inside of Cole. Let's do it.
That works out perfectly. And another big perk that I saw was I see Terrapin Club members are able to kind of enjoy discount at local restaurants, which I saw 15% at the Spot Mini down in College Park. So I do think that in, you know, addition to the Terrapin Club Plus, the online streaming platform that we talked about, I think there's a lot of very evident perks that you're joining the Terrapin Club brings in addition to the added access that you receive.
Yeah, absolutely. We've really grown that over the past year or so. Again, something that we really like to do with the pandemic and just trying to grow our benefits. And we started out with, I think, 6 or 7 last year, and now we're close to 50 with different restaurants in and around College Park and the, you know, the DMV area. And also we've expanded to the, you know, the Eastern Shore and other restaurants and businesses. So I think it's great. And really, like, our starting membership is $55. And if you do that membership and you get some of these discounts. I mean, Marathon Deli, right? How popular is Marathon? It's a 20% discount for Terrapin Club members there. So if you go to Marathon, you know, 4 or 5 times during the year, it pays for itself. And I know a lot of our fans and our supporters do that when they're in College Park.
That's how I got to join the Terrapin Club, Matt, just by that Marathon discount.
That's right.
And I guess kind of with football right around the corner, I know we mentioned, you know, kind of like the special deals and things like that. But I guess, you know, what kind of, I guess, fan engagement can fans maybe kind of looking forward to with potentially the fall, with things continuing to open back up, you know, any potential in-person events that they're, you know, able to kind of take advantage of?
Yeah, absolutely. We've been doing, you know, the Zoom events for a year plus now. We just had one last night with football and Coach Loxley and our new coordinators, Coach Stewart and Coach Enos. And it's something that we're really looking forward to. So we're hoping that later this summer we'll be able to do, we traditionally do our Terps on Tour, which we go throughout the state of Maryland, go to Northern Virginia, go to different places, and we kind of bring our coaches to the community and have a pretty cool event. So we are hoping to be able to do that. We still don't know what the protocols and all that, but normally we do that May, June, July, leading into the athletic season. So not sure on when we'll be able to do that, but we're really looking forward to when we can get back out in the community and get our coaches, get our student athletes back out there and have these gatherings of people again, because that's what it's all about, and I think people enjoy that. The donors and the season ticket holders and all that I talk to frequently, they're really, really fired up about getting back to campus or getting back to be able to, see people again. Cause I know people are, at that mindset, a year plus into this.
Yeah, I think that, we need to do our part to make that happen. I mean, obviously you're seeing 5,000 people spread all throughout a stadium. So you gotta go there, do the right thing and follow directions with the Terrapin staff in order to show that they can do 10,000 next time and 15,000 after that. So you gotta do your part. I went down to opening day, just as a spectator. I work right down the street. So I walked down just to see what was going on. And I was kind of amazed that even Pickles across the street was doing a very good job policing and keeping the separation, doing the things needed. But the reason they're doing that is because they want to be allowed to grow further, because right now they're maximizing what they're allowed to by the city and for you guys with the county. So we got to do our own part and let this thing grow organically so we can get back to a full stadium.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's definitely a start for us. I mean, when I mentioned, our two lacrosse games that we just had, which it was great to have, a couple thousand fans there. And, it's a start. We're getting there. I actually heard this morning that the Indianapolis 500, which is, Memorial Day weekend, that they're planning on having all 135,000 people there. So I don't know the validity of that, but that sounds
pretty good. They're taking out the Alabama spring game. Alabama just had a 47,000 person spring game that was the most attended thing since the pandemic started. So they're definitely going to take out that number.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I guess for fans that want to learn more about Terrapin Club and the perks and whatnot, where can they go online to be able to see that?
Yeah, absolutely. Our website, we have a Terrapin Club Plus website that's dedicated directly to that. Find out more information on that, umterps.com, TC Plus. And then we have a Terrapin Club Reinvented website that really kind of covers those three benefits, the three new benefits that I was talking about earlier with the Backstage Pass, One Maryland, and Terrapin Club Plus. But you can go directly to umterps.com, and we have links directly off of there for the Terrapin Club and the new features and benefits that we have. And that's the best way to find out. And then, we can take it from there. But I'm really, I think we're on the preface of some great stuff with the new benefits that we have. And once we're able to, again, kind of do a little bit more in person, it'll even drive it even more.
Yeah, I think this new direction is really great. And I'm excited to see where you go with it and excited to take advantage of some of these benefits you guys produce.
Yeah. I know fans are definitely appreciative of it. And again, with football right around the corner, I think a lot of fans are interested to see how they can get involved and what they can do. So, Mike, Matt, I definitely appreciate you taking some time and going over this and helping, show Maryland fans what they can do and what they can do to support and what they get out of it with their support. So greatly appreciate you guys taking some time with us today.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Absolutely, guys. Looking forward to seeing you out at a game here sometime soon.
Absolutely.
We'll be there Saturday, rain or shine.
Very good.
All right. Well, big thank you again to Mike and Matt for taking the time to sit down with Ryan and Ahmed and talk all things Terrapin Club. Listen, anything we can do to help the program, large or small, just feels really good. So thank you again for taking the time. It has been a whirlwind of a couple of weeks for us as a show. Ryan had a chance to sit down with Marty McNair and talk to him about the Jordan McNair Foundation and everything that's been going on with that for the past year, year and a half. So if you haven't had a chance to go back and listen to that, I highly suggest you do that. We had our first player spotlight as we had Terps punter Anthony Pecorella on the show and talked to him about a little bit of everything. Everything he's got going on with football, everything he's got going off the field. And let me tell you, this kid is full of personality. He is a typical Long Islander and Italian. I mean, this kid's got the gift of gab, could talk with the best of them. A lot of fun, and really appreciate him taking the time. So we got a lot going on. And if you want to be a part of that, you want to send us a question, send it into our email at shellandtellpod@gmail.com. You can hit us up on our social media at shellandtellpod. You can follow me at FredBLBS. You can follow Ryan at TerpsBEspert. Follow Ahmed at Gafir the Turtle. Well, can't be more excited about going down to the field tomorrow, watching the game, seeing our guys, and hopefully seeing some of you. But until next time, here's to wishing all is well under the shell.